Father, thank you for Jesus, and as we think about him this morning and as we've remembered him and his sacrifice for us, I pray that we'll be encouraged and built up by him and the power of his Spirit in our lives. Father, I pray that as we consider our own worship of you, that we would find ourselves to be sincere in our worship and not insincere. But Father, I pray that if any of us are found to be insincere, that you would instruct us and gently rebuke us this morning and show us a better way, a way that is focused on Jesus and on following him and serving him and loving him more than we love ourselves and serve ourselves. Father, please be with us. Help us to learn from your word. Help us to apply your word. Help us to become better Christians as we close out this year and move into a new one. Help us to make more of an impact in this community. Help us to spread your word and build your kingdom and grow your church. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. When we're home on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, Devin and I, we always watch Christmas with the Cranks on Christmas Eve night, and then we watch Christmas Vacation on Christmas night. And one of my favorite parts in Christmas Vacation is when they're all standing around in the house towards the end of the movie after the dogs totally trash the place. And some of you know what I'm talking about. And they're trying to figure out what they're going to do, and they've settled down, and Clark starts reading The Night Before Christmas to his family when he notices out the window Cousin Eddie coming in with Clark's boss, tied with a chain with a big bow on him, marches him in, and then there's a little bit of controversy. And the problem is, Clark didn't get a Christmas bonus that he was planning on getting. And he was really upset, and so Eddie went out and brought the boss in to atone for his sins of not giving out this Christmas bonus. And when the boss realizes how that bottom line decision actually affected people, he looks at Clark and he calls him Carl, which is a running joke all through the movie. He constantly forgets names, but he calls him Carl and he says, "It's people that make the difference, little people like you." And that's supposed to make Clark feel really good. But as I thought about that, I thought, you know, sometimes it's not the people are little, but it's little things that make all the difference in our lives. And that's why I put up on the slide behind me that it's our actions, not our intentions, that demonstrate our sincerity or insincerity as worshipers of Jesus. It's our actions, not our intentions. We can intend to do a lot of things, but if we don't put action behind them, our intentions don't really matter. For example, we can intend to love a fellow believer. And we can build up some great ideas in our minds, some great intentions, but if we don't actually do something about that, then it's hard to say that we've actually loved the person, and it's hard for us to say that we put action behind our intentions. And sometimes that's the way it comes to worship for us, that we find ourselves intending to be sincere, but we find ourselves actually being insincere. Maybe in some worst case, maybe we don't even know that we're being insincere in things. When we come to worship with the wrong focus, for example, we find ourselves having good intentions but not proper action with it. When we're focusing more on what we call form over function, when we forget that the ultimate purpose of worship is to edify each other and glorify God, and we think that coming to worship is about doing certain things, we intended to worship that day, but in actuality we didn't put the right action behind it and we didn't worship because our intention wasn't there. When we come more bothered about what people look like or how they're dressed than that they're actually there to worship God, we have intended one thing, but our actions have shown something different. And when we put up with other members rather than truly loving other members, we've intended something good, but our actions have shown something bad. It's our actions, not our intentions, that demonstrate our sincerity or insincerity as worshipers. When we look in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, we see a couple test cases to weigh this out in Scripture. On the one hand, we have King Herod, who's a Jew, king of the Jews, a Jew himself, and should know all the scriptures and teachings and all that and so on. And on the other hand, we have some wise men, some magi, men from the East who aren't Jews. They know nothing about the Jewish heritage and the Jewish religion, but they come And what we might expect would be the one who's sincere ends up being the opposite, and the ones that we expect might be insincere are going to be totally different. It's King Herod who ends up being an insincere worshiper, and it's the Magi, the Easterners, the ones who don't know anything, who end up being sincere. King Herod shows us first and foremost that insincere worshipers use people and the Bible for their own purpose. They don't start from a proper focus of wanting or intending to worship God. They start from a focus of how they can use people and how they can use the Bible to get ahead. And King Herod's an excellent example of this. We can go through the passage and look at some of the things that King Herod did to show how insincere he really was. For example, insincere worshipers are disturbed by sincere seekers. If you look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, and see what happens in this verse, we read this. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. What was King Herod disturbed by? King Herod was disturbed by what he heard. What did he hear? What he heard was, in verse 2, these magi from the east, who have no connection to Jews, no association with them, all of a sudden, they roll into town, and Herod's day was going well until these guys showed up. You know how it is sometimes? Everything's going fine. Then the relatives come in, and now the day starts to go downhill. Or maybe it's just my family. I don't know. I'm just kidding. We enjoy visiting with our relatives. But that's what it's like for Herod. He's having a great day, and suddenly some rich, wise men roll into town, and they're running around the city asking people, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? And Herod says, well, gee, I thought I was king of the Jews, so I better go and look into this. Because he hears them wondering, and they say, well, we saw a star, and the star was leading us, and teaching us, and guiding us to come here to find the one who was born king of the Jews. This disturbs Herod. It disturbs Herod because people who are insincere in their worship are not looking to put the proper focus on God. They're looking at how they can enhance themselves through claiming to worship, through being part of a church, through taking on committee assignments or leadership positions, not to actually serve God and to serve others, but as a way to promote themselves or as a way to promote their own agenda. And so Herod immediately was threatened by this. There's no way, let's be honest here, that someone who's born a baby, even if the Magi are correct, and that that a baby was born who's going to be the king of the Jews, there's no way this is happening the next day. And now I know in the Old Testament there are even some pretty young kings, but they've come a long way from there, and there's no way the Romans are going to allow some 8-year-old to take over the throne from Herod. So he's really got nothing to worry about at this point, but he allows his own ambitions to get in the way. He doesn't focus on God, he focuses on himself and his kingship, and that causes them to be insincere. And when some sincere seekers show up, they get under Herod's skin. And they bother him, they disrupt him. He doesn't know how to handle them. He also shows, as King Herod does, that insincere worshipers use the Bible to benefit themselves. We can look at verses 4 and 5 in chapter 2. Herod's so disturbed that he decides finally to go back to the Bible to see what the Bible actually says about some things. Here's a king of the Jews claiming to lead people closer to God, knows nothing about the Bible. And he represents insincere people inside a church who still want to push to get positions of leadership, positions of honor, who want to be seen in front of people doing this or doing that so that they can be seen as the ones doing that. Often those people will use the Bible to benefit themselves, not to teach the truth, not to bring out a biblical vision for what churches or individuals should be doing, but to benefit themselves. And so Herod puts on a real show of tremendous spirituality here, and you can see him sitting around his throne room, and he says, let's bring the Bible and have a little bit of a Bible study here. Let's find out where this is. And so Herod brings him in. He's disturbed, so we know he's not sincere already. And he calls together in verse 4 all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law. He's looking only for those religious leaders who are going to be able to tell him what the Bible says, because he's not going to understand it himself. So he needs these experts to come in, tell him what it says. And he brings them in and he says, where does the Bible say the Messiah is going to be born? All of a sudden, Herod's interested in studying the Bible. All of a sudden, he wants to know what the Bible says. All of a sudden, he appears to be interested in doing what the Bible tells him to do. And so they tell him, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. Then they go on to tell us what the prophet has written. Almost as if to say, if you'd bother to ever pick the thing up yourself and read it for 10 minutes, you might know what it says about the promised Messiah. About the king that's going to be born. And they're correcting, they're the ones showing the king of all people the difference between sincerity and insincerity. Now, we don't know at this juncture, of course, in the passage that Herod's using the Bible, but we know that later on by the actions that he takes. And we'll come to those in a little bit. But we also know that people who insincerely use the Bible for their own purposes are a lot like that. They start out looking like they have good intentions, and sometimes it's only after the fact that their true intentions are exposed. This is why we sometimes can't always tell who's being sincere and insincere, so it's up to each of us to do what it takes in our own lives for ourselves to be sincere in our worship. But Herod shows that insincere worshipers use the Bible to benefit themselves. He also shows us, maybe worst of all, that insincere worshipers use people. This is one of the more disgusting stories, I think, in the Bible of a person who tries to look like he's doing one thing, totally uses people to do something else. This is Herod. After he hears what the Bible says, now he's got the answer he needs, and so he calls the Magi secretly, because he doesn't want anyone to know what's going on here, and he says to them, exactly what time did you see the star? Because he wants to know, is this baby even born yet? How old of a baby am I looking for? Where might this baby be? You know, these are the kind of questions he wants to formulate. And he doesn't want anyone to know that he's having this meeting and what's going on. And then he sends them to Bethlehem in verse 8. And he says to them, go and search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. This is Herod. We know he's lying. Because later on, he kills all the babies that meet these criteria for once he realizes, of course, that he's been tricked and the Magi are long gone and they're never coming back. He kills all the babies that he thinks are going to meet the criteria laid out in, I don't know, however long that he thinks they've had to grow up. So he's insincere. He's using them to try to find out where this baby is. Probably because he wants to kill this baby by himself. And so he lies. And he uses people. He says, I want to go and worship this king also. And so the Magi leave. They evidently believe him because later on in the story we find out that they don't go back and report to him because they've been warned against it in a dream. Presumably they would have gone back and reported to him otherwise. I mean, he pulled them in. He fooled them. And insincere people in the church are like this. They can pull the wool over people's eyes because we typically want to look for the good in people. We want to look and assume that people are being genuine with us. We want to look and assume that people are being genuine towards others in their relationships and not being insincere. And sadly, there are some insincere people who use the Bible and use people to benefit themselves. In contrast to that kind of disgusting behavior by King Herod are the Magi. They represent sincere worshipers who are focused on Jesus. They come to town, and the only reason that these Magi are coming to town is because they have been following a star put in the sky, leading them towards the King of the Jews. It's kind of one of the ironies in the Gospel of Matthew, or actually around the entire birth of Jesus, that those who come and see him first are either shepherds in a field, kind of like the lowest of the low people in that culture. A lot of them were homeless. They would just go around field to field with their sheep. And in Luke, they're the ones that show up to see Jesus. And in Matthew, it's some people who aren't even Jews who obediently follow God to come and see Jesus, the King of the Jews, just as he's born. And so the Magi represent sincerity in contrast to King Herod. because they're focused on Jesus. They represent sincere worshipers who search for Jesus. Their story begins in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. After Jesus was born in Judea, in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." Now, they would have had no interest in coming and following the star to the King of the Jews unless they had some sincere, genuine interest in the God of the Jews. Otherwise, they would have said, "Who cares about this?" But somehow, in seeking to be obedient to God and to find their way to God, somehow in and through that, God revealed this star to them that led them to come and find Jesus. They searched for him. And through that act of sincerity, they leave an example for us that for us to be sincere, we also need to search for Jesus. We can look for him in the Bible. We can look for him in relationships with others. We can look for him as we try to serve others in his name. If you remember one of his teachings, he said that whoever gives someone a cup of water or some food or some clothing in my name does so to me. Sincere worshipers look for Jesus, and they look to serve him, and they look to love him, and they look for him. They don't waste their time worrying about what other people are doing, what other people think, what other plans got made that they don't necessarily agree with or they didn't sign off on. They spend their time and their energy looking for Jesus, and when they find him, they serve him. The Magi also represent sincere worshipers who take guidance from the Bible. Now, they weren't the ones that went to the Bible themselves, and of course, they were following the star. They kind of represent people that maybe they know about Jesus from hearing about him in culture, but they don't know the Bible that well. But once they become a follower of Jesus, they start devouring the Bible because they want to find out all they can about Jesus. And so it's Herod who goes to the Bible and finds out exactly where the King of the Jews is going to be born. And then Herod tells them, go to this location and find him, and then some other stuff about come back and tell me because I want to worship him too. But once they get the word from Herod about where the Bible said the king is going to be born, Scripture tells us in verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. So they went. They heard from the Bible what they should do, and then they did it. And God confirmed that they were doing the right thing by continuing to lead the star over them, and they followed that as well, but they were obedient to what the Bible told them to do. They were looking for where the King of the Jews was born. They were told where the Bible said the King of the Jews would be born, and that's where they went. Sincere worshipers take guidance from the Bible. They do what the Bible says. Sincere worshipers also follow God's lead. I've already talked about that in verse 9. They combined their following of the Bible with the following of God's lead in this star. Sometimes we find something out in the Bible and we know what we should do, but we don't always know how to do it. And sometimes through another person or through maybe a different verse in the Bible or through a chance encounter, we find out and discover how to do what God wants us to do as we learned in the Bible in the first place, and we get confirmation that God is leading us in that direction. And if we're sincere, we follow God's lead and then go out and do what God says. See, these Magi from the east probably knew about where Bethlehem was, and I'm sure Herod gave them a very detailed map so they could find their way. But just in case, God also led them with the star. And they were obedient to God's lead, and they followed both the Bible and God's confirmation through the star as he led them. Sincere worshipers searched for Jesus, followed God's lead, took guidance from the scripture, in contrast to King Herod, whose insincerity was abominable. And of course, finally, sincere worshipers worship Jesus. Here's the key one. If we get this one right, everything else comes into place. The Magi show up, and they come, and they're important people, and they've got a lot of money, and they've got a lot of things, and they show up coming from the east. Maybe we might think that they want to make a treaty or establish themselves somehow, but they come in, and in verse 11, they come to the house, They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. These important people coming from out of state as emissaries of a different kingdom come to a child, and they bow down and they worship this child. What kind of worship did they do? Scripture goes on to tell us that they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, what's a child possibly going to do with those things? If I got, maybe the gold, but if I got some of these other things for Christmas, I probably wouldn't be too happy. But, you know, because what's a child going to do? But that's not the point. The point is, they came and brought gifts to the one they worshipped that represented who they were and what they had. Out of their own culture, out of their own experience, they brought gifts to Jesus. Sincere worshipers do the same thing. And so we might close our time this morning by asking, what gift will you give Jesus? And maybe you don't even consider that you need to do that. And that might be the difference between wondering if you're insincere or sincere in your worship. What gift will you give back to Jesus? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, some of my favorite verses, say this: therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. To offer worship to God is to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, which means to go out and love and honor others and to serve them in a way that's sacrificial, not to serve them as an afterthought, not to give them what's left over after we've already done what we want to do, but to serve them first and foremost, because to serve another person is to offer a gift to God that He finds to be true worship on our part. And so we can consider this morning, by looking at King Herod and looking at the Magi, whether we're sincere in our worship or whether we're insincere in our worship. I hope we're all sincere. But if we are, we can test that sincerity by asking ourselves, what gift will I bring to Jesus? What will I do for Him? How will I make a sacrifice to love Him? How will I sacrifice to serve others in His name? We can test our sincerity by wondering these things, by asking what gift we can give. And not simply by asking, but then by going and doing. Because we saw that insincerity brought a whole lot of inaction with it. But sincerity backs up an intention with action, like we talked about at the beginning. We're insincere when we intend to do something but never follow through with it. We're sincere when we back up our intentions with action. To bring a gift to Jesus backs up our intention to honor Him in our lives by actually doing something. And the greatest gift of all that we can give Him is to remember Him by serving others in His name. That's what He calls us to. He calls us to grow in that way. He calls us to remember Him in that way. He calls us to focus on Him in that way, to honor Him, to cherish Him, to love Him in that way by serving others. This week, think about the gift that you can bring to Him by serving another person in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time in Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew. And I pray that we will find ourselves to be sincere worshipers of You, and that You will show us in our lives whom we can serve, how we can serve them, how we can share Your love with other people around us. Father, please help us to do so. Please help us never to lose focus of what our real goal in life is, and that's to be with You. Help us to keep walking in that direction every day. And we thank You for Jesus, and we pray in His name. Amen.